These last couple days, I don't know about you, but were it not for colored leaves and cool nights and the fog and mist this morning, it could have been easy to forget that we're already in autumn. And it might be a little easy this week where they're predicting sunny days all week, very likely through the weekend. But we are, in fact, in autumn. And as the season changes around us, it is a life-shaping thing over which we have no control. We might find great pleasure and delight in that change, or we might find it a challenge to which we reluctantly adjust. And it's because of that change of season that for 3 weeks I'm inviting us to observe and welcome the spiritual wisdom that this season may bring to us. Autumn, or fall, as we occasionally call it, is that turn of the year that sees the most sudden change quickly, changing from hot to cold, from light to dark. In that beautiful poem that we heard read of John Seuss, he has done what the Christian tradition did for centuries and continues to do, if we recall, reading the natural world as a sacred text, the natural world as a revelation of God's Spirit, not only of God's handiwork in creation, but from birth to growth to seed time to harvest, deeply connected and deeply insightful about the pattern and the seasons of our own spiritual and human living. Last week, we looked at the wisdom of autumn ripening, this process that we can't miss in the world of trees and fields this time of year, but part of the fruitful growth and the goal, in fact, of our own spirits and souls to ripen, that something somehow inevitably will lead to that ripening, but it is something that is just beyond our control. It's observable, but it's mysterious. The earth and our spirits, in their own time, in their own season, ripen, held in the hands of God. Today we turn to a second spiritual message we can observe this season, and it is reaping. Reaping, most often referring to that cutting and gathering of grains from fields, reaping is part of the larger seasonal work of harvesting. It's interesting to notice that it is the ripening that has created the conditions for the reaping. That is the ripening that creates the conditions for the reaping. Ripening comes in its time, and the reaping is the response to the timing of the ripening. The cutting, picking, gathering in of the now ripe and the now ready fruits of the field and the farm or of the wild forest. In fact, it wasn't until the 16th century that the whole season itself, it was called harvest, not just an activity that happened during the season, but the whole season until the 16th century in English was called harvest, something that we normally just reserve for a particular activity, long before we called it autumn. And we know that cultures throughout the world observe harvest festivals with secular and religious meaning. Often, the most important festivals on their calendars, our own Thanksgiving traditions here in North America, bear the imprint of its original harvest festival origins. Jewish Sukkot, which is the full moon harvest festival of tabernacles, a religious observance among the Jews. Chinese Mid-Autumn Moon Festival, and many others. The mood of the celebrations, gladness for the fruits of the earth. And let us remember, in many climates, many places, and even in certain years, the autumn harvest may be the only time that food would have become plentiful. The hard work of gathering and reaping, lightened by the joy of abundance. The meaning of harvest and examples of harvesting are abundant in Scripture. Dozens of references to harvest and reaping throughout Hebrew and Christian Scripture. And it bears mentioning that those references are both positive and negative references to harvest and reaping. There are memorable warnings, for example, from the Apostle Paul, such as, "Those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly." Or even more concisely, "You reap what you sow." But it's the more positive abundance of harvest and reaping to which Jesus refers in this passage we hear today from the Gospel according to John. And this exchange that Jesus has with his followers is following one of the great stories in the Gospels. It's the longest conversation before this scene, the longest theological conversation has with any person, as retold in Scripture, and it's his dialogue with the unnamed Samaritan woman at the well. This scene immediately follows that scene where Jesus meets this woman to whom he speaks to the scandal of his male followers, of an outside group that they were taught to loathe, the Samaritans, and he uses the waters of the well as an opportunity to engage and inquire about her life and to reveal the nature of his ministry, indeed calling himself living water. In her dialogue with him, her recognition of him as the prophet of God compels her to return to her village, and she invites her friends and her neighbors to come and see this prophet that she met. That means that before any of his other followers, her actions make the unnamed Samaritan woman the first evangelist of Christ. So it is as these Samaritan villagers are following this woman on their way to see Jesus, we hear this story, this exchange between Jesus and his disciples, where they're urging him to eat. And he offers a strange response. Just like he used the waters of the well, he uses this offer as food for another teaching opportunity. He transforms both the water and the food, interpreting them as an example of his mission, an example of his vocation. And he uses their experience or observation of harvest time, an already long-standing religious tradition that understood that harvest was a way of indicating God's time of completion. And he says, in effect, the sowing and the ripening has happened. Your period of waiting is over. The quote-unquote crop is here. Now, the passage is written decades following any events that it describes, and it would have resonated with the experience of a growing Christian movement. But imagine, in the immediate context of the story, between speaking with the woman and the arrival of those villagers, the crop that is presenting itself for harvest is the Samaritans who were on their way to meet Jesus, those outsiders whom Jews were taught to loathe, were the first ones Jesus pointed out for harvest. That should give us pause to stop and consider that the crop for harvest is not necessarily where we may have first thought. The people and the places that we frequent and find the most comfortable may not be the ones that are ripe and ready for the good news. But it is that last phrase in this reading that has most struck me this week. The comment that, quote, "Others have labored and you have entered into their labor." Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. It's a Jesus quote that I didn't recall. This notion of entering into and sharing the fruits of the labor of others. Again, in the immediate context of the story, Jesus was more than implying to this inner circle of male disciples that they were about to share in a harvest of Samaritans that wasn't their work, but was the work of the Samaritan woman. but it leads me to wonder about me and about us. How might we have entered into the work of others? Have you ever reaped what someone else has sown? That can be a mixed bag, can't it? Harvesting what someone else may have sown. It might be a difficult harvest of undoing damage someone before you may have sown, even generations before you. Maybe it's the happy benefit of birth or position or inheritance. Maybe it's a mixed bag. I think of entering into the work of MCC. We celebrated 45 years of MCC as a global movement, of how many of us enter early and late into the labor of others who have now gone on to be part of the great cloud of witnesses. I think of entering into the labor of the work of race in the United States. We still harvest from the work of slavery, and thankfully, we harvest from the work of abolitionists and the civil rights movement. We enter into the labor of others. But for me, this week, entering into the work and labor of others touched me more personally. You know, pastors, just like everybody else, have bad days. And sometimes those bad days stretch into bad weeks. And, you know, on a rare occasion, it can even be a bad month or two. But this has been a difficult week for me. Many things were challenging, some of them frustrating, disappointing. The nature of those is not something that's worth me sharing from the pulpit, only to say that it was a really, really hard week in many ways. A few things helped, but some of the things that normally helped weren't helping enough. Prayer wasn't quite doing it. Conversations with friends and confidants were helpful, but weren't lasting in terms of the effect. But the thing that made the greatest difference for me was, of all things, preparing for our congregational meeting. Shocking. Who'd have thought it? A couple weeks ago, I invited contact persons and leaders of many, I tried to reach all of our volunteer ministry teams, and asked them to just send a brief synopsis of how many people have been doing what in their ministry over the course of the last year, from November to October of this year. It's going to be part of our celebration of ministry during our congregational meeting. So this isn't meant to be a commercial for the congregational meeting, but there you go, a commercial for the congregational meeting. As I was pulling together all of those responses from all of our ministry teams, it completely lifted and turned me around from what was almost the brink of despair in some issues in my life. When I entered into the work of others around me, I realized how blessed and how gifted we are and I am to be in this community. This celebration of ministry, recognizing and entering into the labors of others, have lifted and changed me this week. It also made me think, as we prepare to recognize and give thanks at our meeting, makes me wonder, did the disciples remember to thank that Samaritan woman for her work on the harvest? It is autumn. The fields are ripe. Not only do we get to labor and gather in the fruits of our labor, but we enter into and celebrate and gather the fruits of the labors of others. What are we waiting for? It is the season. It is autumn. It is harvest right now.